We're going to look at the Word of God this morning for a few moments and look at the Scripture, a couple of passages of Scripture, actually, and talking about a couple ladies in the New Testament. And this is Mother's Day, and as you know, all over the world, or all over people, countries where they're celebrating Mother's Day, people are calling their moms and wishing their moms Happy Mother's Day and telling them they love them. Many of us, our moms have already gone on and passed on, and my mother died back in 83, the day after Mother's Day. And there's people this week, there's a couple ladies in the town, or one lady in town, Edith Wager, passed away this week. Many of you know Edith Wager. Her funeral is on Tuesday. And just had a prayer request come in that Judy Lee's mom, remember Judy Lee? Her mom passed away this week. So, you know, people are losing their moms as you get close to Mother's Day. But we're going to look at a couple of mothers in the New Testament that made an impact. And whether, you know, you want to recognize it or not, what we are today is largely in part to what our moms did in our upbringing. I know dads were involved, but your month is coming next month. Your day is coming next month. So we're talking about moms today. And there's nothing like a mother's love. And we understand that. And we used to have a song years ago, and I don't know who sang it, maybe the Irish Rovers or somebody, but it says, "You'll never miss a mother's love till she's buried beneath the clay." And a lot of it is true sometimes. You know, you don't really appreciate how much you love your parents until they're gone. But anyway, this is from 1 Timothy. Actually, this should be 2 Timothy. I can see my mistake now. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And we're going to look at this. Paul is writing, and writing to Timothy. You know, Timothy was a young man that was a pastor. He was a pastor in Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, and traveled around with Paul in different places. And Paul, he was in Philippi with Paul, you know, when Paul was thrown into prison, all these different things. So Paul, Timothy was involved in Paul's ministry. He was a young man. We'll get into that in a minute, where he's from and everything. But just wanted to look at this. Paul says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Now, before we look at the scriptures, there's a couple of little things here I'd like for us to look at. And things your mother teaches you, things my mom taught me, or whatever. And here are some of the things that our parents teach us. They teach us foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Anybody ever hear that? Yeah, been down that road. Logic. Our mothers teach us about logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. Our mothers teach us about maturity. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. Our mothers teach us about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. Our mothers teach us about contradictions. Shut up, meet your dinner. It teaches about contortionism. Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? It teaches about perseverance. You're going to sit here until you eat every last bit of that broccoli. They teach us about genetics. You're just like your father. They teach us about the weather. It looks like a tornado just swept through your room. And finally, they teach us about the cycle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. So I thought that was pretty good for Mother's Day. Anyway, let's get back to that scripture that we're talking about here. Paul is writing to Timothy, and notice a couple of things that he says here to Timothy. He said, when I call to remembrance, he said, the genuine faith that is in you. So when Paul met Timothy, Timothy was a young man, as I said, and Paul saw something in Timothy that was very inspiring to Paul, and Paul talked about the genuine faith that was in Timothy. In other words, Timothy wasn't fake, he wasn't wishy-washy. What he saw in Timothy as a young man, Paul was impressed with. And this is what he says, the genuine faith that is in you. But now, notice, where did Timothy get that faith? And a lot of times we look at young people growing up and we see things happening, and we say, well, you know, I wonder what, you know, made him like he is. What makes him tick? What's his background? And this is what Paul's talking about. He said, I see that genuine faith in you. But he explains where it came from. He said, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois. So it was in the grandparents. And he said, and in your mother, Eunice. And Paul said, I am persuaded that is in you also. So Paul saw something in Timothy, but Paul knew where that came from, that faith that was instilled into him. We're going to look at a couple things here. We're going to look at these three individuals that I mentioned. First of all, Timothy. Then we're going to look at Lois, the grandmother, and Eunice, the mother. And so first of all, Timothy. There's a scripture in Acts chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Now, this is the first time we find Timothy in scripture. Paul was going around in his missionary journey and preaching the gospel and different things. And he went to a place called Lystra. Well, we'll go down through it one at a time. He came to Derbe and Lystra, and they're talking about Paul now. He came to Derbe and Lystra. Now, Lystra is Timothy's hometown. Now, the reason I want to stop there for a minute, I want us to understand something. A lot of times, our culture, our upbringing, everything has got an impact on our lives. You know, where we came from, the community we grew up in, the people we were around, the influences that we had, and different things. Lystra was a place that was, today is in Turkey, in the area of Turkey. But it was, remember a while ago we did a series on Galatians? This is one of the churches that was in Galatia. Galatia was a province. This is one of the churches that was in Galatia. And Lystra is where Timothy came from. Now, prior to this, Paul was in Lystra, in Acts chapter 14, I think it is. And he was in Lystra. And the Bible says, as Paul was preaching, well, let me back up just a bit before that, before I give you a bit of background what happened there. In Lystra, there were people that believed in Greek mythology. They believed in Zeus and Jupiter and Mercury and all the gods and, you know, all these different things. And there was a teaching going around that at one time, Jupiter and Mercury, two gods, Zeus and, I forget the other guy's name now when you change their names, but anyway, they came down to the earth. This is the Greek mythology. They came down to the earth and they came to Lystra. And they went through Lystra and they were trying to find something to, place to rest. And the story in their mythology, these two gods went all through Lystra, knocked on doors, people turned them down and everything else. And finally, there was an elderly couple that took them in and gave them something to eat and gave them a place to rest and spend the night. That is the story. It's myth, but, you know, this is the story of Greek mythology. And they said in doing that, Zeus and Mercury, they put a curse on Lystra. And people, there was fires and different things, and things happened and burned people's homes, and people died and things like this. But this elderly man and woman that helped them, they blessed them. This is the belief in the Greek mythology. Okay, now let's just give you a bit of a background. What was worshipped in the city of Lystra? This is what people believed in the city of Lystra. There were some Jewish people there that believed in God, as a Jewish religion, that believed in God. But there was always this clash between the two groups. Now, Paul came along, and as Paul came into Lystra, the Bible says in Acts chapter 14, Bible says, while Paul was preaching, there was a man there that was crippled in his feet, and Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. And Paul cried out to him, he said, stand up on your feet. And the man got up and was healed, and the place went ballistic. Everybody got all excited and everything else. And they said, the gods have come down amongst us. And they said, Paul, he's Zeus, or I might have mixed up now, but and Barnabas was the other guy, you know, the two gods that came down. So they figured, we're not going to mess it up this time. We're going to be good to these gods. And they ran out and they started bringing in animals and different things. They're going to sacrifice them to Paul and Barnabas. And when Paul and them realized what was happening, Paul stopped them. And he said, we're only men like yourselves. And then he explained to him about Jesus healed the man and things like this. Now, this is the background that Timothy came from. Now, Timothy no doubt saw that miracle take place as a young man. And they tell us Timothy was anywhere from 15 to 20 years old at that particular time. So if you're in that age group or age bracket, we're talking your age group. Timothy was roughly in that age, you know, somewhere in there, 16, 17, 18 years old, whatever. Now, so as this was taking place, Paul and him left and went on. And matter of fact, Paul was stoned and brought outside the city and stoned. He thought he was dead, and he came back in again. Different things that happened there. So this was the first influence that Timothy had from Paul, and you know, seeing Paul in ministry and all these different things. Now Paul went on, and now he came back, and this is the part where we're reading right here, the second time that Paul came back to Lystra. And then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there. Now notice this, he's a certain disciple. So Timothy, he is from Lystra, from this town where he had these strange beliefs, and he was a disciple. In other words, he was a believer in Jesus. You understand it? He was a believer. Now, he was the son of a certain Jewish woman. So we're getting a bit of a background on who Timothy was. He was a young man, he was a Christian, and his mother was Jewish. Now, his mother obviously had heard about Jesus and accepted Jesus as her Savior. And because here's Timothy, he was Paul talked about this faith that was in Lois and in Eunice, his grandmother and his mother. So here's Timothy, his mother's Jewish mother. And notice what it says here. She was Jewish who believed. As I said, she was a Christian. Okay, so Timothy grew up under the influence of his grandmother and his mother as Christian influence in his life. But notice this here, but his father was a Greek. So he had a Grecian father. Now we'll talk about that a little bit later on down. His father was Grecian. In other words, they came from a mixed marriage. Eunice, Timothy's mother, had married this Grecian or Greek father. Okay, that believed in these Zeus and Jupiter and Mercury and all these other gods. Okay, now, notice what he goes on to say. Timothy was well spoken of by the brethren who are at Lystra and Iconium. Now, these are two cities that were close by. So, Timothy was well spoken of. So, he had a good reputation as a young man growing up amongst the Christian people that were there. Everybody respected him as a young fellow growing up. He was very, no doubt, disciplined and knowledgeable in the scriptures and different things, and people respected him. He had a good reputation. Now, there's another passage. We go back to where we were at just a few minutes ago, but in chapter 3 this time. And Paul is writing to Timothy. And as by now, Timothy is in the ministry. He's after traveling with Paul for a while, he's in ministry and he's pastor of Ephesus. But anyway, Paul says here, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Paul said, remember the things. How many times you say to your children when they're growing up and they're getting old enough to go out to university or college or go out and get their first job and stuff like that? Say, now, remember, you know, what we've taught you. Remember the things that, you know, your upbringing. Remember, you know, what we've drilled into you over the years that sometimes frustrated you and everything else, but now you're going to put it into practice. Now you're going to realize maybe I should have listened to Dad and Mom or not listened to Dad and Mom. Now is the time, you know, when you're going to take some of these things that you've learned, put it into practice in real life. Okay, and we all do that for our children, and you know, as children are growing up, you're here with the small children today. You know, we have up around here this morning. You know, these little children are looking to us for leadership, and so we need to understand. So Paul says, remember and continue in the things which you've learned. He said, and knowing of whom you have learned them, or from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. So Timothy, he knew the scriptures even from childhood, this is the New King James, the regular King James, I believe it says from infancy, or one of the translations is from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures. From an infant, you know, there is never too early to start teaching your children about the things of God. They tell us, and you see people do this sometimes, some of the newer generation, you know, the baby is in the womb and the father is there singing to the baby, or the mother is singing to the baby and different things because they believe that the baby can hear, you know, inside the womb and recognize the voices and things like this. Well, what a better thing to be able to put into the baby, even while it's in the womb, to sing Sunday school courses, to sing things about the Lord and tell them about the goodness of God and quote scripture and things like this. Drill it into them. I don't mean that in a bad way, but implant that into them while they're still in the womb. And as infants growing up, we need to understand the importance of getting God's word into the next generation. And so this is what was happening. So Paul says, he said, from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So Timothy, and I was reading one commentary, and they said, if Timothy, you know, his mother was saved when he was born, and they worked it years, they figured that Lois, his grandmother, must have got saved about AD 32, 33, 34, somewhere in there, right at the beginning after church, you know, the church age, okay, right after the crucifixion of Jesus. So his mother was saved here, then Eunice was saved, or his grandmother, rather. Then Eunice, his mother, was saved, and then Timothy, as he grew up, he gave his heart to the Lord as well. So we need to understand that, and as children are young, we, as parents, again, we're talking mostly to mothers this morning, but this, you know, goes for all of us. We need to, as they're growing up, to pray for them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, and to bring them to a place where they realize that they need Jesus as their Savior. Now, they might not understand everything about sin and heaven and hell and all these different things, but they need to know that they, you know, need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we need to get that into the children. Now, it's never too early to start instilling God's word into the hearts of our children. As I said, some people, you know, they sing songs to them and everything else when they're in the wombs. Why not speak God's word over them while they're in the womb? From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Start as soon as you can to teach them God's ways. Now, that was Timothy. Now, let's look at his grandmother, Lois. Paul, where we started here a few minutes ago in the first verse, he said, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois. Now, this was Timothy's grandmother, and no doubt Paul mentioned this because of the influence that she had in Timothy's life. And she was Jewish. She was a believer. And all, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois. And she was a godly woman, and then we also see that she had genuine faith. Notice Paul says there, he said, when we call to remembrance, he said, the genuine faith that is in you, that he mentions in your grandmother, and is in your mother. So we need to understand that Lois, maybe was the very first one saved in the family. We don't know. I mean, this is just speculation. It could have been Eunice got saved first, and she brought her mother in. We don't know. But, you know, generally speaking, it sounds like Lois, because Paul says here, dwelt first of all in your grandmother, Lois. So first was in her, then it was in Eunice, Timothy's mother, and then it was passed on down to Timothy. You know, we need to understand the importance of passing our faith down to the next generation. You know, how many of us are here this morning because of Christian parents or grandparents? Put up your hands. Or maybe an uncle or an aunt or something. See, most of us are like that. Now, I know, and there's some that, you know, probably you're the first one saved in your family. Maybe you're the first ones that, you know, turned to the Lord in your generations, that at least that you know of. When my wife's father passed away a little while ago, we were down there, and my wife's brother was telling us. He said he was in to see his aunt, his father and his father's sister were in the hospital at the same time. Brother and sister were in the hospital. And the father's sister, which is Pat's aunt, she was telling Dave, which is Pat's brother, I know there's a lot of names for you to try to figure out there, but anyhow, she was telling Dave's brother, she was telling Pat's brother, and that, you know, she said, your great-grandfather, she said, on, you know, your father's side, your great-grandfather, she said, he was a very religious man. She said he always went to church. He always prayed for his family. He used to lead church services, stuff like this. Because they were wondering, how, you know, what happened to us? We came in and it seemed like nobody else in the family was saved. But, you know, we don't know how many of us are here this morning because we had somebody prayed 100 years ago, a great-grandparent or something. You know, how many times we read your scripture, we've talked about this a little while ago in Ruth, back in the Bible. Ruth became the grandmother of David and things like that. So when you look at these things, and we see the little change sometimes in life back here changes the history forever for the genealogy of the family. So we need to understand the importance that we play in our families and our children growing up. God, grandparents can have a great influence on the lives and destinies of their grandchildren. And we're going to look now at Eunice, his mother. Now, we look at Timothy, we look at the grandmother, and we're going to look at Eunice. And going back to the same verse again that where we found Timothy, he said, he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. Now, again, we already talked about this. She was Jewish. She was a believer. I can get this to work. Here we go. She was a believer. And then we look at, maybe she was a single mom. We don't know. I look up three or four different commentaries a week, and they're saying no one knows for sure, but most theologians think that she was somewhere along the line, she was a single mom. And there's a couple of reasons why they believe that. First of all, Timothy is mentioned, his grandmother is mentioned, his mother is mentioned on his maternal side, but you see nothing about his father, except he was Greek. That's all we hear. Okay, and there's no record. Now, some people believe that maybe by this time the father had died. You know, we don't know. Maybe the father had left them. We don't know. Maybe Eunice married him before she was, became a Christian herself. We don't know. But whatever the situation was, it seemed like she was from a mixed marriage, and it doesn't seem like Timothy's father was a Christian. And this is what you see there. He says, Timothy was the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. But notice this, his father was a Greek. And you say, well, you know, that don't prove really much. But notice the word right there, but. But his father was Greek. And other place where it mentions he was, you know, the son of a certain Jewish woman and, you know, different, they were say, you know, believers and all these different things. But when he talks about the father, the word but means you're changing course. You're going to look in a different direction. And everything else pointed to Timothy's upbringing. He had a good Christian mom. He had a good Christian grandmother. But his father was a Greek, implying that his father wasn't a Christian. Now, we don't know what kind of impact this had on Timothy. We'll see a little later on, well, next verse or so. But here we want to understand that his father was Greek, his mother was Jewish, there was a mixed marriage, his mother believed in God, his father probably believed in the Greek mythology, in those gods, and maybe there's a clash in the family, we don't know. This is what theologians are saying. Maybe there was some kind of clash in the family, maybe there was a blow-up that the father left, or whatever the case might be, but it seems like at this time when Paul met the family, Timothy was there. He was a good man with a good reputation, well-respected. His mother was saved. His grandmother was saved. But his father was a Greek, implying that his father came from a different background, different type of person. You understand it? So maybe Lois and Eunice brought Timothy up themselves, training him against the father's wishes. Maybe the father was trying to, you know, persuade him from the Greek beliefs. But his mother and his mom instilled in him the value of the scriptures and instilled in him the belief in God. So here we have this situation. And the Bible says here that he was well spoken of by the brethren which were at Lystra and Iconium. Mothers make an eternal difference in the lives of their families. Moms here this morning, you think, you know, man, I'm just changing diapers and feeding them and getting them off to school and whatever the case might be, and this is just a rat race. But you don't understand the impact you're having in society. You know, and we need to understand that. The impact of moms, sometimes a lot greater than the impact of dads they have in society. This dad seemed like was, you know, gone. But the mom and the grandmother raised Timothy. And by the time Paul got there, Paul saw something in Paul, said, I'm persuaded. He said, the same faith is in you. So they did a good job in instilling that faith in Timothy. Now, Eunice was raised in a godly home and was greatly influenced by her mother, Lois. Timothy was raised in a godly home, was greatly influenced by his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. You see that? They're passing down through generations. Genuine, consistent faith comes out of a growing desire to live by God's word. No doubt, from what it sounds like, most commentaries look at it from this perspective, that Timothy's father had no interest in Christianity, had no interest in serving God, and he was probably worked from the other aspect, trying to instill the Greek mythology into Timothy. But his mom and his grandmother instilled in him the word of God. And Timothy grew up, and if you know history, well, we'll touch on it here probably. Well, let's look at this here. Timothy, again, was well reported off by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Verse 3 there, notice what it says. Him, Timothy, Paul would have to go with him. Paul saw something in Timothy that Paul figured that this man can be used by God. And if you understand what happened here, Well, I got a place here. I'm trying to find it. But anyway, wise parents recognize that their children need strong, godly relationships. Pray for your children, no matter how old they are, to have godly influencers in their lives. Lois and Eunice raised Timothy in the ways of God. And as I said, there's a time when they come to a certain age, and maybe Timothy is probably up, you know, close to 20 at this particular time. And now Paul wanted to take him with him to go out and work in the mission field. And Paul said, I'm persuaded, he said, that the faith that is in the grandmother, is in the mother, is in Timothy also. And he had a good reputation, he was well respected by the people. And Paul saw something in Timothy that could be used for the glory of God. But here's the thing, Lois and Eunice at this time, I can't say their work was finished, but a vast majority of their input into Timothy was done. They had done everything they could to bring him up to this age. Now they were releasing him to Paul to take with him in his missionary journeys, and knowing that Paul would be a good influence in his life. You know, if you've got young boys growing up, you need to get godly influences in their lives. If you've got young girls growing up, let me say it this way. Young boys growing up need godly influences from other godly men in their lives. You understand it? Girls growing up need godly influence from other godly women in their lives to understand what it means to be a real man of God, to be a real woman of God. They need that as an idol. You know, the idols of our children should not be some rock star. You understand that? Somebody who's been out there and is, living, I don't want to condemn everybody, but you know, kind of life they're living. We need to instill in our children godly examples of people, and this is why it's important. I love to see the church. Like yesterday, we had Chelsea's little two, just seeing people all working together and helping out and things. I think that's wonderful to see little children around that. And when you see little children coming to church and things like this and walking around like this, to me, I love this. Some people get upset when they see little children walking. To me, that's the most precious thing in the world. You know, we're part of a family. And we're helping to grow each other's children, to encourage each other. And we need to understand that she's okay. She's okay. But you understand what I mean? We need to allow the children to come in God's house and enjoy God's house instead of, being so strict to them that I don't want to ever go there again. I think we should make it the most enjoyable place in the world for children. That's just my feeling. I always felt that way, and I believe that's the way it should be. But we need to understand the importance of godly influences in our children's lives. Timothy, this is what I was trying to get at. Timothy went down in history as a man of faith. When you read the Bible, here's 2,000 years later, people still talking about Timothy. You know, Timothy went down in history because of the influence that his grandmother and his mother had in his life. And we need to understand, sometimes we feel that we're not making any difference whatsoever. And we all go through this as parents. We say, man, what did I ever do? You know, did I ever do anything right? We all go through that. And you'll go through it, until Jesus comes back. Or you go home to be with him. We always sometimes second guess ourselves. But we need to understand that, as we live, God the influence. And as we said a little earlier, no matter how old they are, even though they're up married, gone on their own, and things like that, they're still your children. And even though you can't get in and say, no, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to be home at this time, you can't do this. We understand that. But you still have concern for your children. We still need to pray for them and encourage them and be there for them. And this is what God's word is all about. This is what it means to be a faithful mom or dad or whatever the case might be. But as I said today, we're talking about moms. But we need to understand that the influence that we have in our children, upon our children. Timothy went down in history as a man of faith. It was largely because of a praying mother and a grandmother who were devoted to God. Just a few thoughts here to finish up. God give us today mothers who are more concerned about her children's soul than about their children's careers. Some people would do anything. As long as they're making good money, I don't care. That's the least thing on the list for me. I mean, we need to make money. We're living in a real world. We understand it. But listen, if your children are not... I've said this thousands of times as I've been in ministry. If when the dust is all settled, we're sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb, if I can look around the table and see my family there, I don't care what we had on earth. The main thing is that my family is with me in heaven. You understand that? Always keep a focus like that. So we need to be more concerned about their souls than about their careers. God give us mothers who are more concerned about their children's eternal life than their success in this life. God give us mothers who are more concerned about their children's relationship with Jesus than their popularity in the world. They're more concerned about their standing before God than their standing in social status. More concerned about their spirituality than their intellectual, musical, or athletic accomplishments. Some people get all excited. You know, and I'm not knocking you here, and we don't have this problem here anyway, but I've been in churches over the years, you know, when like hockey season. Now, don't misunderstand. I love hockey, especially when Toronto's winning, you know, which is not too often sometimes. But I love hockey. These type of things. But listen, when our children growing up, I remember in some of the churches we've been in, when it come to Easter time, Easter season, I mean, the time when you should be thanking the Lord for what he's done for Young Calvary. Gone off to a hockey tournament somewhere with their children. Their children grows up, nobody serving God anymore. I wonder whatever happened. Listen, let's make God number one priority in our lives. God will look after everything else for us. But let's make sure that we don't put the musical accomplishments and athletic accomplishments and intellectual and anything else. Make sure that we put spiritual first. We need to understand it, the spiritual. This is a poem. I don't know who wrote it. I've had it on the computer for 3 or 4 years now, and I thought I can put it on today and listen to it. The poem is called My Mother. Your love, I know, I've seen your tears. You've given to me my life. You've walked through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife. To see that I could have the best that you could give to me, you gave up needs and often rest. You viewed eternity. To do God's will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall because you held me up in prayer. Though strands of gray may brush your hair, there's a cure for that this day. Though strands of gray may brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you help me day by day. You've shown me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me to see and be aware that life is so soon past. So, to spite your love, I would not dare, for there is not another who spreads your gentle love and care like you, my loving mother. Isn't that nice? But today, let's honor our moms. Some of us, our moms have already gone on to be with the Lord. You know, and it's always a bit of a twinge here. I remember the first year, like I said, my mother died the day after Mother's Day, but the next year it seemed odd not being able to send something to Mom or call her or whatever the case. You know, and I know some of you are going through that, and you know, these are things that we'll face, you know, probably, and, you know, obviously as time goes on it gets a little different, but, you know, and some of you are new moms. Some of you got little children here now, precious little children running around. And as a church, we want to help out in any way we can to help bring them up. And that's why we don't, you know, criticize little children running around playing and things like this. I'd rather see them in church doing that than out on the street somewhere just playing hockey on Sundays. That's, you know, and we need to understand we're a family, we love each other, and let's be patient with each other and encourage each other and help each other and pray for each other and not be putting each other down but building each other up. We're all going through the same storms of life and we need help. We don't need people to keep pushing us down. We need, you know, and so let's, as a family today, let's covenant together that we're going to bring our children up. We're going to help each other. We're going to live godly examples that our children can look up to us. Now, that don't mean say you're never going to make mistakes. You'll make mistakes until the day Jesus comes back. You know, as you make those mistakes and you go back to the Lord, our children are looking at us. We don't understand sometimes the impact that we have on our children. They learn more from what they see sometimes than what they hear. And we need to understand it. And to all the moms, happy Mother's Day.